Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord this morning as we gather in the name of the babe of Bethlehem, who became the Christ of the ascended, the Christ who now sits at the right hand of the Father and is with us here this morning. So let us praise the name of the Lord. Let us just pray. Let us come together now in around that throne of grace. As I said, God, Jesus is now ascended, and he hears all our prayers. He is our only mediator. And so we come to him now this morning. So let's just be quiet for a few moments. Let us lay aside all those joys, those fears, all those thoughts in our minds. Let's just bring them to the Lord in quietness. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this further opportunity to come into your holy presence in a company of believers, in a company of this Wonford Methodist Church. We come together on this day to praise you and to give you thanks. We thank you for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you so loved this world that you sent him and that you gave him to us. And he walked with us and he showed compassion and mercy and love as he still does. So Lord, we come to say thank you. So thank you as this year comes to an end. And as we cast our eye back over these last 360 odd days, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us over that time. That every day you've been with us. That every day that you have led us. Lord, as you know, in this gathering, each one of us have had different experiences of this year. Some have had to face sorrows. Some have had to face medical procedures. Others have had to face different sorts of problems. Lord, whatever it may have been, whatever it could have been, we know that, Lord Jesus, you've been with us. And as we now stand on the cusp of a new year, Lord, each one of us may be either fearful of it, anxious of it, what may lay ahead as we survey the world and international and national scene, as we look at our own individual lives. But as the angel said to Mary and on many other occasions to many of God's servants, he says to you and to me this morning, do not fear, for I am with you. I will go with you. I will go through the portals of a new year with you. And whatever may come or go in the coming days and months, I promise that I will be with you. So Lord, that's the deepest thanks we can give to you. That we know that your promise is true. That when you say a word, we can trust it. When you say something, we can follow it with certainty. And so, Father, thank you for all that you are. Thank you for every blessing that you give to us. So, Lord, as we now humbly meet in your name, I pray that this service may be to the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now that wherever your people are met, whether it be in cathedral or chapel or church or village hall or schoolroom or even in the open air, I do pray, Lord Jesus, that it is your name and your name alone that is glorified and praised. For I ask it in your precious name. Amen. Our two readings today take us into a part of the nativity story that I believe is often just bypassed. But it mustn't be, because the truth of the nativity story is about the kingship, the power of God, overcoming those who would try to alter the plan of salvation. And so I'm going to ask Maggie. Maggie's kindly going to read to us our first reading, deep in the Old Testament, from that great prophet Isaiah. Thank you, Maggie.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 to 9. And can be found on page 751 in the Pew Bibles. I will tell you of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good deeds he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Amen.
Amen. And now Julie's going to bring to us the reading from Matthew's Gospel. Thank you, Julie, love. Thank you.
The reading's taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, and can be found on your Pew Bibles on page 966. Escape from to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was still reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Thanks be to God.
Thanks to Maggie and Julie for bringing us the readings today. Thank you. And now we come to our prayers of intercession. As we stand on the cusp of a new year, it is good to come together in prayer. And when we get to the point where we pray for the church, I would like you to please lift up names that you know who need our prayers this day. People from within this church. People you may know in your own neighbourhood. Or at work, wherever. People who you may know need our prayers. Now these are prayers of response. So when you hear the words, "Lord, come to your people," your response, please, is, "In your mercy, set us free." So, "Lord, come to your people."
In your mercy, set us free.
On Luke 4, Christ comes to shepherds, watching their sheep through the long, dark night. He comes with the glory of the angel's song and in the humility of the manger. Loving God, we pray for this community of Wanford. We thank you for all families, for every person who lives in the vicinity known as Wanford. We thank you for our shop, Lidl's. We thank you for our doctor's surgery. We thank you for the nearby hospital. We thank you for the schools. We thank you for the community hub and the chemist. And we thank you for those who serve, like Ellen and others, who serve this church within our community. And we thank you, Father, for all who reach out. We thank you that Lidl's allowed us to have our carol singing within the shop. And we do pray that that may have been a blessing. So in the midst of our everyday lives, surprise us with the glimpse of the glorious, the humble. Love at the heart of the existence of this community. So Lord, come to your people in your mercy. Search for Christ comes. To the wise and powerful, star led to Bethlehem, seeking a king. He comes, child of Mary, crowned with meekness, worthy of every gift. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of the world. We pray for our own Prime Minister, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. We pray for other powerful leaders in this world. And we pray that as we stand on the cusp of a new year, with all the challenges that will bring, with Britain leaving the European Union, with the continuing wrestling with the climate change debate, and other things, the rise of terrorism again in Iraq. We see in Somalia what terrorism can do. So there are great challenges. So we pray for the leaders of the world. So guide them with your light to the true wisdom of justice and peace, of freedom and respect, for every human life. So Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Long for Christ comes. To Anna and Simeon, whose days are lived in faithful expectation, he comes, a new life to the old, a living prophecy of hope. So, loving God, we pray for the church in all the world, our own Methodist connection, our Methodist circuit, and here now I ask you to pray for the people of Wanford. So please use this time just to name names of people you may know who need our prayers this day. So, dear Lord, unite us by your Spirit and make us all faithful witness to the hope we have in you. So, Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Pray for Christ comes to men and women, girls and boys, crying out in darkness, pain and loneliness. He comes baptized at one with us, our Saviour, healer, and friend. So, loving God, we pray for those whose lives are hard and painful, or whose existence is sorrowful, bitter, or empty. And so we pray for the millions of refugees in this world. We pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for all those who at this time are suffering from bushfires or floodings or whatever natural disasters. We pray for the people of the Philippines who suffered that great typhoon the other day. So be with them, Father, we pray. So in their need, may they know your healing touch, reaching out to comfort, strengthen, and restore. So, Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Unlook for and search for, long for and pray for. Loving God, you come to us now, as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all who have reflected the light of Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we say together the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you that you have kept your word over the centuries. We thank you for your most holy word. And now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, for I ask it in your name. Amen. Now we have just sung the Alleluias to our King. And our reading from Matthew is actually all about that. It is all about kingship, and it is all about who has the power. Power is something which I believe is in the hands of the Lord God Almighty and the Lord God Almighty alone. But throughout history, and still to this day, there is this constant struggle for power. Who has the power? And in this story, which some people may see as a simple addition to the Christmas Nativity story, actually, I believe it is of very deep significance. Because, to me, it is the start of Satan's attempt to eliminate Jesus, to stop him from going to the cross. God in his mystery had a plan, and this was the part of the plan, that Jesus would come in the most vulnerable place of a stable, of a dirty old stable, without any real protection. He was open to disease. He was open to anyone who would like to get rid of him. And God did this deliberately. The wise men, when they came, of course, assumed, and rightly assumed, as all human beings would assume, that if there was a new king to be born, he'd be born in a palace, and he would be born in a capital city, not in some outpost of a small, forgotten province who thought itself still as a nation, ruled by a despot called Herod. So there, if you read the story from chapter 2 in its beginning, you see the wise men go to Jerusalem. Now here begins the battle. One thing that we must never underestimate in the Nativity story is the high expectation of the coming of the Messiah. You must never ever underestimate that, or you miss a vital point in the story. For when Herod asked the wise men where would he be born, well, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers knew exactly where to point them to. And this is one of the tragedies, isn't it, of the Jewish rejection of the Messiah. That they knew exactly where he would be born because Micah the prophet had foretold it, had told that it would be in Bethlehem Ephrata. And it's surprising, isn't it, and disappointing that the Jews who have all this information about the birth of Messiah reject it. So Herod, not wanting to seem such a proud man and wanting to lay down his authority as king, does give the wise men opportunity to return and tell him where exactly the baby was laying. But God knew Herod's heart. Herod was only a ruler by permission of the Roman Empire, of Caesar Augustus. As with most empires, place in places puppet rulers who they know will be favourable to their whims, who will follow their dictates for the sake of being able to put a crown on their heads and boast with their chest stuck out that they are a ruler. The old theme that power corrupts is so true as it is true today. So Herod thinks he's a very important person, but really he is not. He thinks he is a king, but what is his kingdom? A small, outlandish Judean countryside with its city of Jerusalem. That's all his lands were. But yet, as give a person a title and they don't want to lose it. You see it in today's life, don't you? Give a person a title and they want to keep that title whatever. People see it in the workplace, give a person or people a responsibility, and suddenly their nature changes. Because power does corrupt. Power gets to people's heads. And the sad part of it is, of course, that the wise men were telling Herod that someone who could benefit him, someone who could bring him into his peace, because one thing that Herod didn't know was peace in his mind. He was always being threatened by his own brother. He was always being threatened by other people. And so he was always having to look behind his back. But the wise men offered him someone, a new king, who hadn't come to rule over geographical, physical contours and boundaries, but had come to create a new kingdom. But he missed the point. He was so concerned with his own power that he was plotting in his mind what he would do. And of course, that came to pass when the wise men didn't return. And he became so angry that he put into place a plan. One thing is which always makes me weep is the innocents. It's always the innocents who suffer at the whims of these despots and these people who just seek power for power's sake. You'll need to look at the world today, the Yemen, and sadly the rise of IS again in Iraq, the continuing bombing of Idlib in Syria. Where thousands of innocent people, children, have died at the whims of people who just want power for power's sake. So who is the true king? Well, here it unfolds. And here in the story we have three characters, don't we? We have Joseph, we have Herod, and we have Jesus himself. Joseph, a person who really we don't know much about. But what we can gather from this story here, I would suggest that he was a person who was very much in tune with God. For I believe God doesn't speak to people who he's not in tune with. He was alert. And saw a dream, a vision, whatever it may be, right at the beginning when he was facing that shame of Mary being pregnant. I can imagine the people of that village of Nazareth saying to Joseph, "Oh Joseph, you've been a naughty boy, haven't you?" And the shame of all that. I probably felt like fleeing the scene until God spoke to him in that dream and told him how the pregnancy had come about through the Holy Spirit. And one thing to Joseph's eternal credit is this, that he didn't question it. He accepted it fully. And oh, what a lesson, isn't that for us? To accept God's will fully. And so he did. And now he comes at this very vital time as Satan in all his power is trying to manipulate the destruction of Jesus right at the very beginning, in the manger, in the stable. But God has other plans. And who does he use? He used Joseph's again through that dream. And again, Joseph asked no questions, and immediately he wakes Mary up and takes them down to Egypt. In all the meantime, the evil man Herod is planning what he must do. Now, of course, there is a time lapse. We estimate it may be anything up to 18 months to 2 years. We're talking about probably about BC 4 now. But they are still in Bethlehem. They are still there before they flee to Egypt. And Herod then gives the order. And Matthew recalls a great piece of scripture from Jeremiah 31 verse 15. If you read Jeremiah 31, 15, it is all about, and that chapter 31, is all about Jeremiah in the midst of all the threats that Israel was facing, Judea was facing from the Babylonians. Jeremiah was given a a projection of how God would save his people. But in the midst of that, in the midst of that reading of Jeremiah 31, he interjects with this. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So you may ask the question, why did God allow this? Why did God not stay the hand of Herod? But you must understand, and it's something which human beings wrestle with, that rulers, people who have power, are just like you and me, have this free will. And Herod had a choice. Herod had a choice to commit his soldiers or not to commit them. And sadly, he committed them. And so I always look at the story, the Nativity story, in a bittersweet way. Of course, there is the triumph, the news of Jesus being born. But in it is also the death of all these young boys under the age of 2. We probably, from a 21st century viewpoint, find it difficult. But it just shows, as I've related, that even in the modern age, rulers send their bombers, who know very well that when they drop those bombs, the chances of hitting their target accurately are very limited. And innocent people get killed. The choice is theirs. They make it. But does his ultimate plan come to fulfillment? No. Joseph heeds the dream and immediately takes Mary and the child away to Egypt. After a while, he hears that Herod has died. Herod died a very untimely death. Because whether you're the supreme ruler of an empire or whatever, death comes. And he had to face his maker. Meanwhile, Joseph hears of this and returns. And he hears that Archelaus is reigning in his stead. So he decides to go back to his hometown of Nazareth. So where does this story leave us? Because if this story was just there instilled in history, then it would have been pointless me telling you. As I said, the old story is about kingship. So I want to ask you, who is your king today? Who do you give your supreme allegiance to? Over the coming months, the Methodist Church faces a very difficult challenge. For the question will come to each one of us. And you have to decide, who does your allegiance to? Who is the king who calls you? Who is the one who's saying to you, follow me? It's a decision that isn't easy. I will just finish with a reading from John 1, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then John makes this great assertion. Through him all things were made, without nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. My dear friends, this is the King of all creation, the King who gave his life for you and me. I pray that your choice will be to follow him wholeheartedly. For I ask it in his name. Amen. We sing together our final hymn, which is number 218. But before I do, thank you to our musicians. Thank you to our sound engineers. Thank you to our readers. Thank you for those who have made the teas and coffees, for those who will see to the prayers this morning. And thank you for all of you for coming this morning. And it only remains for me to say, may the blessings of God the Father be with you in this new year. May you all have a healthy and peaceful new year, I pray. Not just for Wednesday, but for the next 366 days. For remember, it's a leap year this year. So 366 days, I pray God's blessing